thought for today. To achieve, decide what you want. To achieve, decide what you want. If you can't see it, maybe it's not happening. What do you want out of life? What sort of things do you want out of your life? Do you want things out of your life that are enjoyable and rewarding and delightful? Or do you want things out of your life that are sort of not so exciting? You have to choose what sort of things you want out of your life. And once you decide what sort of things you want out of your life, you can have them. But there's no way that you can have them until you decide what it is that you want. We all have desires. We all have wishes for ourselves. We all have dreams. And these dreams sometimes come true and sometimes they don't. It's all a matter of what you expect out of your dreams, what you expect out of yourself. Do you expect out of yourself ideas of love and peace and harmony and goodness? Or do you expect out of yourself the attitude of joy and abundance? What do you want? No matter what you want, you're going to get it. Now, this morning, Ingeborg spoke about perfection, but she gave us a perfect indication that she didn't know what perfection was all about. She read perfection in the textbook, she studied it, she thought about it, and she thought, yeah, that's very interesting. Perfection is very fascinating. Perfection is going to be all about. Perfection is going to bring us joy and peace and harmony in our life. And perfection is going to bring us goodness and the right action. But if we don't know what perfection is, to talk about it is a very poor choice. We should always talk about things that we have a vague idea about, if not know a lot about it. So when you give your talks, don't put yourself in a box before you begin by talking about something that is kind of esoteric or, you know, beyond your limits. I don't mean that you shouldn't explore that. I just mean that if you're going to present yourself in public, you're going to present yourself so that you show your best foot forward. And you cannot show your best foot forward when you are unfamiliar with what you're doing. We talk about deciding what you want and deciding what you want out of life. Most of us have no idea what we want out of life, and we don't get it. We say it'd be nice to have a new car, it'd be nice to have a house, it'd be nice to have a friend, it'd be nice to have a nice body, it'd be nice to have... That's not saying what you want. That's just saying what the world says is nice. And what the world says is nice are those things that are common, ordinary things. Now, what you really want is something intangible. Just take for instance. Here we have, we'll take Bill Gates again because he's a good target. Bill Gates was always a very bright young boy. And that's nothing to hold against him. He was just a bright young man. And he had an interest in creating software. His first software that he created was with some money. It was called DOS. He didn't create it, he just bought it. Wise boy. But he got into it, he somehow got it in his name, in his responsibility, and he sold it to IBM. And he made a great deal of money. which gave him the freedom to go create more software. And so he went out and created more software. Now, if you were to say to Bill, Bill, the world has all the software it needs now. What would you like to do next? He'd say, well, let's create how to use the software. Let's create how to make it more efficient. Let's create ways of polishing it. He'd become a Norton. And he'd become an antivirus person, perhaps. But always he would be working with a field that pleased him and delights him. He does not consider him a race car driver. He has a few cars and he likes to drive fast. He does not consider himself a father, though he has a wife and a child, two children now. He does not consider himself a wealthy man, though he is the wealthiest man in the world. He considers himself a person who creates software. He considers himself a person who is always thinking of new ideas for creating software. Now, you might say he's rather limited. Who are you to say you're limited? Have you found something that it turns you on totally? Don't go belittling somebody else who's found something. That's our tendency, you know. They say, they have no other interest. All they do is software, software, software. Well, what are you doing? You have no interest, or you're chasing everything looking for an interest. And one day you find it, and then you become one-pointed on it, and you become dedicated to it, and you'll find it's the most satisfying thing in the world, and then you'll give it a four-letter word, five-letter word. You give it a five-letter word, and everybody will say, wow, guess what they found? B-L-I-S-S. I've been looking for that all my life. Wow, how did you do that? How did you do that? How did you do that? By being one-pointed. By doing something you like. Turning your attention to something that turns you. Be yourself and have fun. That's not a phrase of meaningless import. That's a very positive thing to say. Be yourself and have fun. Now, if Anita were to say to us, Herb, I like being at the monastery. I enjoy everything I'm doing. But what I really want to do is to tend a horse or more. I want to be a horsewoman. I want to study the philosophy. I want to keep going on it, but I want to be a horsewoman. I want to take this philosophy and apply it to raising horses. I want to take this philosophy and apply it in grooming horses, in training horses. I want to take this philosophy and put it to work in every part of my life, me and my horse. And I'd say, well, Lone Ranger, you got it. And then, the moment she was free to do it, then she'd feel empty. Because she hasn't yet built up her one-pointedness on her relationship with animals. She hasn't yet zeroed in and found total contentment in being with her horse or horses. Because she's still like Ingeborg, talking about, you know, talking about purity, honesty, talking about those sort of things that she doesn't know about yet. She's working on it. What was your subject, Ingeborg?
Affection.
What was her subject, John?
Affection.
I heard that. What was your section, her subject, John?
Perfection.
What was her subject?
Perfection.
What was her subject?
Perfection.
What was her subject?
Perfection.
Were you comfortable with her perfection, or did you feel that there's no chance that you're going to know perfection? Not even circles are round. You see, when you don't know your subject and you haven't zeroed in on it, now, when I come back, I want you to give a lecture on perfection. That's going to be a lecture that's going to tell me what you think perfection is, not what you think perfection isn't, but what you think perfection is. Now, that's not hard, but it's just a matter of directing your attention in another way. So when Anita starts directing her attention toward loving her horses and loving herself and loving what she's doing, she will not feel empty. The only people in this world who feel empty, and there's a lot of them, are people who have no love. They have no love for what they are doing. They can't decide what they want, so they can't decide to love it. Now, Anita says, I don't want to love a kitten, because if I love a kitten, I might lose it, and then I'd have to not love it anymore. So, you see, you can't do that. Anita, where is all time?
Now and here.
Right. So, you love the kitten in the now, and if in the the kitten's no longer part of your life, hey, maybe Anita, maybe the kitten's going to grow up and get married and leave the family, you know? Go have a family of her own, you know? Would you be unhappy? No, you'd be very happy. So when the kitten moves on, wherever it goes, you're happy and release it. When your daddy and mommy move on, you release them. When anybody else moves on, you release them. If you hang on to them, then you're not moving into new experiences and having great things. But what do you want? What do you want? Do you want your daddy and mommy and sisters and brothers and your whole family to ever, forever, or ever be right at your side, or you know, be in your world? You see, you stop and think once. John has been spending all of his life running away from home. He has done his very best to separate himself from his parents and from his world, to go off to other adventures. He always comes back. But he's done his best to say, see, he doesn't recognize it as that. He recognizes it as just going out and having fun. And that can be true. But what it really is a desire to do your own thing, a desire to separate from the ties that hold you. Not because you don't like the ties or you don't like your parents, but because this is human nature. Now, divine nature never has to leave. Divine nature is ecstatically happy right where it is. Divine nature has created itself where it is, doing what it's doing, and it is so satisfied and so fulfilled. You mean to say, we're not going to go climbing Mount Everest, we're not going to go visiting Mama back in Switzerland, we're not going to go doing these things? Yes, you're going to go doing those things, but with a different attitude. Not with an attitude that you want to accomplish something, but with an attitude that it's just something you do in your normal everyday life. You're not leaving one place to go to another place. You're taking the place with you wherever you are to wherever you go. There's no separation. When you want something, it means you haven't got it. And when you have everything, where is there to go? If John was 16 and he wanted to climb Mount Everest, his dad would say, hey, have a good afternoon. You know, he wouldn't say, have a good 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months while you're doing the journey and doing the thing. And son, when we see you, come back. And son, don't fall off of Mount Everest there, because, you know, you might get lost and you know, don't. You know what his father said? His father said, son, go for it. He says, you'll have a great adventure. He didn't say, son, now you be careful. You put your clap-ons on good so that you don't slip on that ice and snow. You do this. He didn't say that. He said, boy, have fun. Go have a ball. Use all the knowledge you've gained up to now and all the knowledge you're going to get. Just have a ball. I believe in you wherever you are and whatever you do. You can't run away from that. But you run away when you feel it's an untried territory, or it's an adventure that's unexpected. Things happen suddenly on the adventure. Well, nothing happens suddenly on the adventure. Everything happens because you are who you are. If John were a three-year-old child going on that adventure, he might not have developed skills that were necessary for it. But John wasn't a three-year-old child. He was older. Now, do you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is, when you know that you have everything that you want, you don't want it anymore. But you enjoy it. I don't want the Miata, but I enjoy it. The Miata is there as long as I enjoy it. When I no longer enjoy it, it ceases to exist. My beautiful Mercedes 450 SL. I bought myself a beautiful GMC 32-foot long motorhome. And beautiful, fabulous, top-of-the-line vehicle. And with it, I didn't need the Mercedes anymore. I mean, I could only drive one vehicle. And so I released the Mercedes. Now, when I released the Mercedes, I didn't want it anymore. I didn't need it anymore. What happened? Poof, went up in smoke. That was not my choice. We were out in the middle of the wastelands of northern Wisconsin, the cold of New Year's Day, and it just started on fire. How and why? No idea. Don't really care. I had released the car. I should have released it in a more practical way, but I released the car, and it was gone. No more responsibility. The insurance covered the whole thing, everything was perfect, but I released it. Now, we do want to be a little more cautious in how we release things, because we don't want to release things that cause us distress. But actually, it didn't cause me distress, because as I stood there, the people standing around said, "Whose car is that?" And they pointed to me, and I was standing there looking at it, and, okay, I release it. And had that stupid look on my face, and people said, "Well, I'd be crying and I'd be unhappy, you know." Well, the thing is, they weren't releasing it. They were claiming it. Because it was indeed an exceptionally beautiful car in mint condition. And I released it and it went. So, when you decide what you want, you get it. When you decide that you want the motorhome, you get it. When you decide that you want the sweepstakes, you get it. When you decide that you want to have a lovely home, you get it. When you decide you want to take a journey, a sabbatical, or whatever you want to take, you get it. But what are your reasons for doing it? Are your reasons for doing it just to be yourself and have fun? Or are your reasons escape from one experience into another? And if ever your reasons are escape, then the journey will not be a joyful journey. It will be filled with all sorts of interesting confusions. Now you say, well, if what you're talking about is what you're talking about, it didn't sound like there's any confusion there. No, that's true. That's true. Maybe it's more in keeping with what we're presenting here than we know. And maybe we don't know all. Maybe we don't know all. If Anita went back to visit her mom in Switzerland, when she goes back, and the first thing she does, she walks in the door, Anita, and her mother says, "Anita, why did you hate your father so?" And he said, "My God, what have I walked into here?" And so then Anita says, "Mom, let's sit down." Anita says, "Mom, this is who Pop was. This is who Dad was. He was a jerk, a louse, a miserable person. And we loved him. And this is who Dad wanted to be. But because he had some hurts that went way back that we never cared to even look at, because he had some anxieties that we didn't recognize, but we thought that it was just meanness. Because we didn't love him enough. We didn't walk him through these experiences. Oh, 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 Mom says. And then Anita says, oh, 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 as she's waking up herself. Because you see, when we do these things, we wake up and we present people confronting us. I wish I hadn't gone home. Oh, 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 oh. No. You went there because you were ready for that beautiful experience. Do you know I was hanging from a rope on Mount Everest for a day and a night before somebody came along and helped me down? I was just dangling there. And I had to keep myself warm. And then I knew it'd be all right. But I never allowed myself to get into that situation again. And I love the climbing, and I'm going to climb again. But that certainly was a very hairy experience. Well, what did you learn by it? Did you learn that you can survive anything? That you can hang like a roasted chicken in the sub-zero weather and not freeze to death? Did you learn that you can think of other things than hanging from a rope while you're hanging from a rope? You can play the piano. You can count your blessings. You can do 1,000 things. Men who are in prison camps, they don't want to be in prison camps. Prisoner of war or whatever. And so, what do? If they don't know how to do something, they have someone teach them. And they teach them how to play golf without any golf sticks, without any balls, without any fairways, without any greens. They teach them. And somebody wants to learn to play the piano. They teach them without any piano. Just imagine it there. You're sitting right there, and there's the keys of the piano. Now play. Play those keys. Now, no, you're off there a little bit, you know. All in the mind. And then you demonstrate it outwardly. Now, what is it that you would like to have in your mind? Does John want to have in his mind that he's hanging from this rope? Or does John want to have in his mind that he is dancing at the Savoy? That he's sitting with his friends having a glass of ale, telling about their adventures? What does John want to have in his mind? What does Ingeborg want to have in her mind? Does Ingeborg want to have in her mind that she's living in the Rancho Paradiso and that she hasn't figured out how to get to the road? And that now she's going to take a ribbon and she's going to tie it to a series of bushes which will lead her straight back to the road so she'll be able to take the straight and narrow back to the ranch. Is she going to do that? She'll probably dream about it and maybe become aware of it. But I had done that just the night before. I had come out of there and I thought, well, I'll walk straight over to the fence. And I ran into those thick, thick bushes. And I thought, gee, I didn't know they were so thick on that side of the fence. No wonder he put the fence with the boards on this side, even though we told Mr. Tillman to put all the boards on the other side, because that's what you do. If you own the fence, the boards are out pretty to the neighbor, not to you. And he put all the boards to us. And he absolutely violated everything, and the fence had to come down. The fence could not have remained up. Art put the fence up correctly, but I had to insist on it with him too, because he knew how it should be done. It was easier doing it the other way, even though it was on his property that he could have been doing it. But you see, decide what you want. Decide what you want. And if you decide that you would like to have a Mercedes, and someone comes along and offers you a Mercury, at least it starts with an M, you say, I accept, but I still want my Mercedes. My Mercedes is in the back of my mind. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, here's a Rolls Royce. You say, thank you very much, I accept. I can go and buy 3 Mercedes now. But keep your vision clear. And if I may suggest, when you decide what you want, settle for nothing less. Settle for nothing less. Because if you settle for something less, you're going to be like a frustrated Bill Gates, who is running Citibank very successfully, but he'd rather be writing software. He's running this great conglomerate which owns everything on earth virtually, and he'd rather be running software. Now, he's not thrilled about having a big corporation. It just happened. It happened because he was so dedicated to what he wanted to do. And he had good advisors. And he also had a quick mind to recognize whether the advice was beneficial or not. And he followed it. Now, do any of you have good advisors? Do you have your desire? Do you know where you want to go? Do you know what you want to be, what you want to do in life? Do you know where you want to do it? Monastery's life is not for everybody forever. It is forever. But people have other choices, and that's just wonderful. Go. If Stefan were to leave us today, the monastery would continue. You've seen how it operated when he was gone. He did a good job when he was here. Outstanding fellow. And when he comes back, he'll continue to do a good job. But you see, the monastery didn't stop just because the president wasn't there. You understand that? You understand that?
Yes.
Nobody's indispensable. They're good. They're wonderful. They do their job well. But life goes on. The bills get paid. The manuscripts are proofread. And the work is being done very nicely. But don't ever think that you're indispensable. Because the moment you think you're indispensable, you're out of business. You're really out of business. Because then you're living someone else's dream and not your own. Because in your own dream, if someone takes away your software, or if you sell your software company, and you sell it for millions and billions of dollars, and then you must make a contract. And the contract says, I agree not to engage in software for the next 10 years, which gives your company that you've just sold a chance to prove itself under new management. But after 10 years, you have been working on software for this 10 years, and you've developed a super, 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 super software, which exceeds any software ever produced by you or anybody else up to that time. And so the 10 years really germinates your idea to such an idea. Pow! You hit the market. And it's just like, it's a new age, a new millennia, a new life. You cannot stop whatever is your real desire for yourself. You can sell your companies, but you'll go back and make a new one. Perhaps taking it from a little different angle. And you may sell it again. And again, one young man sold his first company at 12, his second company at 15, his third company at 19, and he's a multi-billionaire already. And he just kept coming up with these fantastic ideas and then developing them into companies. He's really a genius, obviously. And then after he developed it into a company, and it showed great promise on the market, he was bought out. And he didn't care, because upstairs he had a million more beautiful concepts and ideas, and he would flood the market throughout his lifetime with these beautiful concepts. And he had all the wherewithal to do the research that he wanted to do. No rush. surround himself with geniuses, and go for it. Now, decide what you want. And I would say, right now, decide you want to be a monk. You want to be a monk with all your heart and all your soul and all your being. You want to be a monk and dedicate yourself to being a monk so completely that everything you do is an expression of how complete and wonderful you are. And when you do that, do you know what will happen? You will be the most fantastic monk, and you will get the benefit out of being a monk. You'll get the benefit out of going to school. You get the benefit out of elementary school. You get the benefit out of learning algebra and geometry and arithmetic. You get the benefit out if you give yourself 100% to each aspect of your life as you do it. Because how do you know how this is going to fit into your great dream for yourself? Because you do live eternally. You are immortal. Now, get the benefit out of everything in life by giving your very best to anything you engage in. Anything. Whether it's being a monk, whether it's talking to horses, whether it's traveling the world, whatever it is, be the best. Because you always take with you who you are. And if you are a beautiful person, then the best will be quite beautiful. I love you. I do. It'll be interesting to see how this tape comes out with all the variety, veracity, and virility that it has. Exciting. So, let's close the door here. I love you. Yeah.